Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
Yes, ma'am. Did you ever have any valuable items go missing or disappear while Mike Miller was living with you?
No, never.
You previously said that you had seen Mr. Randolph at your house 3 times. Did Mr. Randolph ever come to your house after Mike's death?
No.
Okay. State any follow-up based on the jury questions?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Long?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Ma'am, you are excused. Thank you very much for your testimony here today. State, you may call your next witness.
State will call Billy Miller to stand.
Okay.
You do solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Please be seated. You can state and spell your name for the record, please.
Billy Miller, B-I-L-L-Y, M-I-L-L-E-R.
Thank you, sir.
Mr.
Chandler, whenever you're ready.
Thank you very much. Sir, in probably around Christmas time of 2007, were you living here in Las Vegas?
Yes.
And who were you living here with?
My wife, Vita.
All right. How long have you lived here in Las Vegas?
Since 77.
Around that time, did a nephew come to visit?
Yes.
And what was his name?
Michael Miller.
All right. Where was Mike from originally?
Rock Hill. Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Rock Hill, South Carolina. Okay. Do you recall why Mike came out here? What was he looking to do?
Well, he knew I was here, and he was just looking for a fresh start because everybody came. Always sought me and my other brother out.
Okay, so you had other family members come out from Rock Hills?
Yes.
And so he was coming out too?
Yes.
At the time, did he have a settled job here in Las Vegas?
No.
As far as you know, did he have any, you know, a stable income or anything of that nature?
No, he did not.
Okay, so no job and no money?
No money.
Was the plan once arriving to Las Vegas to start looking around for work?
Yes, he did.
When, around that time, did you have a business yourself?
Yes, janitorial business.
I'm sorry?
A janitorial business.
A janitorial. Was it for commercial businesses?
Commercial.
While he was trying to get on his feet, did you even offer to have him assist you and your wife with that business?
He did.
About how old was Mike back in late 2007, early 2008?
He was 30, 39.
About how big was he?
My size. Okay. He's about 5'5", okay. About 145.
Okay. At some point in 2008, do you meet someone by the name of Thomas Randolph?
Yes, I did.
Who was the person who introduced you to Mr. Randolph?
Michael, my nephew.
Where was the first person you saw? Where was the first place that you saw Mr. Randolph?
Well, my mailbox is where the visitors park also. Right in front of my door. It's a condo.
Okay.
That's where I saw him. And he waved me over.
And you said they waved me over?
Yes.
Okay. Meaning, who? When you say they, who are we talking
Michael,
about?
Michael, my nephew.
And?
He introduced me to who he called Tom.
All right. Now, do you see Tom here in the courtroom today?
I do.
Could you please point out where he is in the courtroom and maybe describe an article of clothing that he's wearing?
Blue shirt.
Tie or no tie?
No tie.
All right, let the record reflect the witnesses identified the defendant. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time that you recall Tom coming inside your house?
No.
Okay, how about your garage?
Yes, to the entry to my garage.
Okay. Tell me about that. What do you remember about that?
My daughter and her boyfriend were visiting, and we were sitting down at the bar to my kitchen area, just talking, and my daughter came up and says, Mike says, Tom want to see your cars.
All right. What sort of cars did you own at that time?
69 Roadrunner and a 91 Porsche.
Okay. So what did you do at that point?
I gave him a funny look when I got down to the garage, like, I never introduced you to my cars.
So you were kind of private about
it? I was private about my cars, and also the fact that Mike was not a car guy, in my opinion. When we spoke, I felt like it was kind of like an odd situation for me to be in.
All right. So do you stay down there very long?
Not long, because the conversation was quick.
Okay. Back then, how tall, if you can remember, was Tom?
He's probably 6'2", 3".
All right. How big was Tom?
He was the size of a fella.
Okay.
Maybe 200, maybe 240, give or take.
Okay, so somewhere between 200 and 240.
Right, right. Okay.
As the days and weeks go by, do you notice Tom somewhere in the general area of your condo?
Yes.
Where would you typically see Tom?
In front of the mailboxes.
Who would he be with?
Mike.
And where would they be?
They'd be in the car talking.
All right. Were the windows up or down?
They were up.
How long would you, if you would come by and notice them there, how long would they stay inside the car?
Hours. Hours.
Do you recall them working on any projects outside by the mailbox?
No.
Any, like, you know, home improvement things by the mailbox?
No.
I want to ask you a little bit about Mike's, let me do this. Were there times, I'm going to stop for a second. When Mike shows up, does he have any clear mode of transportation when he first kind of moves in and lives with you?
No, I had to pick him up.
All right.
On the bus stop.
Does he start to use something that belongs to you to kind of get around?
Yes, my wife had a little small SUV.
Okay.
And so, while he was looking for work, okay, she allowed him to use her car.
From time to time. Did he ever use a bike?
I had bikes in my garage.
Okay.
But he never actually used one of my bikes.
Okay. So you remember speaking to the police probably about a day after Mike passed away. Is that right?
Yes, several days after he passed away.
Okay. I know it's been a really long time. Would it help refresh your recollection if maybe you had a chance to just look at a page to see whether or not you recall Mike ever using one of your bikes?
Sure.
And page 13, counsel.
All right.
Just take a look at the top of page 13. Just read the silence to yourself. And does that help refresh your recollection? Does that help refresh your memory?
Yes.
Okay, so at least now, I mean, I know it's been a long time. Does that help refresh your memory? Did he ever use a bike of yours from time to time?
My wife's bike, yes.
Okay. Were there times that you observed Tom picking up Mike with his car?
Yes.
How often would that happen?
At least several times a week, for sure.
It included pickups, is that right?
Yes,
did it ever include drop-offs?
Yes, pickup and drop-offs.
I want to ask you about the phone situation. When Mike first showed up around Christmas, did he have a cell phone?
He did.
At some point, does he lose it or he doesn't have kind of a working cell phone?
That's what it was. It just wasn't working.
So is there a phone line that you provide Mike to use?
Yes.
Which line is it?
It was called Vonage.
Okay, so that's the carrier that used it?
Right.
Was it a business line?
It was a business line.
And did you provide that phone number to the police?
We did.
Okay. Was that number 702-987-3269?
987, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do you remember as you kind of would, I don't know, so where was that phone line located?
It was in the kitchen.
All right. So when you'd be home, once Mike had met, well, let's do it this way. Mm-hmm. Before Tom meets Mike, I want to focus on that phone line for a second. How often did that thing ring? Before Tom.
Infrequently.
Okay. All right, let's switch it up. When Mike and Tom kind of start hanging out, how often does that phone ring?
It rang if he wasn't there.
Yeah.
It would ring if Tom wasn't there. It would ring regularly for Mike.
Okay. Do you recall Michael having conversations on that specific phone?
Yes.
Do you also recall whether or not it had a voicemail system?
It did have a voicemail system.
Did it get loaded up with voicemails?
Overloaded.
Okay. Did you guys ultimately kind of delete those messages?
My wife did because it was overloaded.
Given the interactions between, let me ask you this. Back in the day, I mean, how much older did Tom seem compared to Mike?
Like grandfather, elderly.
Comparatively.
Compared to Mike, right.
When you just observed kind of this, and your understanding is what? That he was kind of doing odd jobs for this guy?
That's what he told me. He said,
just so we can get clarification. Who's the speaker?
Okay, I'm talking about Mike would tell me that Tom was going to help him get some part-time work that he had, like a handyman type work.
Okay. And as far as you know, from your nephew, did he have a prior career as a handyman as far as you knew?
No.
So when you see the number of times this guy shows up, when you see the conversations for hours outside the mailbox, when you hear the phone ringing, what was your thought about this relationship between these two?
I couldn't think too much of it because Mike said that Tom liked him. Okay. He was trying to help him get work.
So and you didn't want to read too much into it?
I didn't want to read too much into it because I know he needed work.
Okay. But putting that aside, mm-hmm. Did you think it was strange?
Judge, objection. That's leading. He asked the question and didn't like the answer, so he did it. He just said he asked a leading question then.
So based off of this, I understand you said, look, you were trying to be positive because Mike was looking for work.
Yes.
But when you saw the conversations, the sitting in the car, the phone call ring, did you think it seemed a little strange?
It was strange because he was not getting work.
Okay. Okay. Do you recall Mike complaining to you about not getting enough work from Tom?
Absolutely.
And yet they continued to hang out.
Yes.
And he continued to call.
Yes.
But not enough money was there.
He wasn't able to do the jobs because he wasn't able to assist him because his back was hurt and he couldn't get out of bed sometimes. That was a complaint.
Okay. So you'd have Mike would go over mm-hmm. and then they weren't even doing any work.
Came back with no money and upset.
Do you recall at some point learning that Mike went out shooting with Tom?
He told me that Tom wanted to take him shooting at the shooting range.
Okay.
And asked, how did I feel about that? I said, well, when my wife came out and the kids, I took them shooting. That's the first thing we did, went to a shooting range so they can get familiar with the guns that I had.
Okay. So you remember him being invited to go shooting?
Several times that never materialized because he wasn't able to go.
Okay, meaning Tom?
Tom's back was hurting, so he couldn't go.
Okay, so as far as you know, from sometimes you heard about it, Tom wasn't able to go some
right.
of the times. But Tom did invite him, as far as you
know. He did invite him.
Okay. Is there a time where you observe Mike in possession of a gun?
It was strange because it was a handgun.
Right.
And he showed it to me. And I said, you brought a gun home to the house, and he's going to take you shooting. So when is he going to take you shooting? He says, well, you know, Tom, he sometimes his back hurts. And I left it at that. And when I walk my dog, maybe 30 minutes later, going past the pool, he catches up with me. Mike catches up with me, and he says, I can't believe he'll want me to bring the gun back right away. I say, what do you mean? He's blowing the phone up. Bring the gun back.
So did you tell him also to bring it back?
I told him you got to take it back. Get it to him. Tell him to come back and pick you up because I'm not going to take you.
Okay. Did he tell you whether or not Tom gave him the gun or anything about that?
He said Tom wanted him to get familiar with the gun.
Okay. I want to turn your attention to around May of 2000, or very early May, because I know Mike passes away on May 8th, but early May. Do you remember there being a discussion about Michael house-sitting with you, about Michael house-sitting for Tom?
Yes, he did. He came to me and he says, Unc, he says, I don't know how I feel about this. I said, what do you mean? He says, Tom wanted me to house-sit for him and Sharon.
And this is just timeline-wise. This is 1 week before he passes away.
Yes.
So Tom's going to be out of town, and Mike is supposed to be inside that house.
House-sitting.
Okay. Do you give him some advice?
I did.
What's the advice you gave?
I told him that you're new to the neighborhood and probably to some neighbors, and you being a young black man in this man's house, any neighbor could walk up and say, who are you? What are you doing here? And you can't have anything except to say, well, I'm Tom. I say, so you get him to give you a certified letter stated that you are house-sitting for him.
Okay.
At this address.
In that week leading up to his passing, is Mike inside the house a lot? Is he house-sitting? Or maybe you know or you don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
After the house sitting, maybe a couple of days before he passes away, or maybe a little bit, about a week before he passes away, does Mike have a conversation with you where he tells you some of his future plans that he's about to do?
Yes.
Okay. So let me just ask you a few questions, and you just answer them, all right? So does Mike tell you that he's planning on leaving the state of Nevada?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Does he tell you that he is going to be coming into some money that he's getting from Tom?
He did.
Did he tell you that the plan was that Tom was going to hire him as a driver because Tom had a bad back?
Right.
Did he tell you that he was going to start this new life with a girlfriend that he made, or that he had met, and they were going to be moving out of state?
Yes, and then he wanted to go visit his son because another young lady knew he was out here.
Okay.
And he was going to visit her also.
Okay. And then did he also tell you that with that money he was going to get from Tom, that he and Tom were going to go buy jet skis together with some of
that
money?
He did. It kept switching up. So, you know, it wasn't a few days. It was from one story to the next. And I'm thinking he's just kind of...
Just if you...
I'm sorry.
So, it's okay, sir. Just Billy, listen to what you're asking. Yeah. Billy, you can just answer yes or no.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry.
Yes or no. Did Mike tell you that he and Tom, with that money that they were coming into, were going to use some of that money to buy jet skis?
Yes, he did.
Okay. So, he's your nephew, right?
Yes.
I would assume you knew him for 39 years?
Yes.
Okay. In the 39 years, had you ever heard or seen Mike go jet skiing?
No.
Okay. Was Mike a boatman?
No.
Okay. Let me do this. Do you remember back when you were interviewed by the police the day after about whether or not you had a ski mask inside of your house? Do you remember that?
I did.
Okay.
Stage 303A.
Do you recognize this as something from your house?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Do you remember... let me ask you this.
What is it about it to you that looked different? Does this not look like something that came out of your home?
Because mine had... it wasn't tied together. Wasn't tied together there. It was more like open like this.
Oh, and so you could see all
you could
of
see
your
all the
way
around. And also the mouth was... It would cover your mouth, but you could breeze through it as if you're riding a bike and you could have a lot of breezing.
Okay, so there's more room
absolutely
for your nose and your mouth,
right?
So, and there's room for your eyes.
Yes.
And just I'm going to publish this to the.
So those eye holes of the ski mask in your house are a lot wider, and there's a lot more room for your mouth and your nose to breathe.
Yes.
Okay, so.
So you recall maybe a day after this happening with Mike, you being interviewed and saying, we had a ski mask that went missing, but when you took a look at this, that's not
that was not it.
Okay.
No.
And do you remember giving police permission, like, hey, you can come look in a portion of the house, see if you can find it?
Yes.
Okay. But looking at that ain't the one.
That was not it.
Okay. One other question. Let me ask you about baseball for a second.
Michael ever wear anything on his head?
Baseball cap, pull close, like you pull the bib down real close. That's what he wore.
I want to take what's been published as State 303B.
You recognize this?
Yeah, that's what he wore all the time.
And by he, you mean
my who? Michael, my nephew.
So yes. Michael was wearing this all the time.
Yeah.
Did you say he wore it religiously?
He did.
Okay. Even up until his death. I guess I'll publish the jury as well. Oh, sorry. My counsel pointed something out. When you head on, we actually can't pick that up.
Okay, yes, that's what he wore all the time.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have no further questions for this witness.
Good afternoon.
You were asked about a bike. Mike would borrow a bike, is that right?
Yes.
He would use it to get around.
My wife's bike, but he didn't use it that often. My wife made every effort to help Mike get a job, so her car, whatever.
So he would use the small SUV that your wife owned sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. And he also had a girlfriend, didn't he? Right towards the end of his life, he had a little girlfriend, right?
I found out that he did have a girlfriend at the end,
okay,
according to my wife.
Did you ever learn that he received rides from her?
She would drop him off when I heard sometimes.
Okay. You told the police that Mike had actually cleaned out Mr. Randolph's garage as part of this, handyman type thing. Do you remember saying that?
He said he would have odd jobs sometimes.
Okay.
And whatever it was for his wife or her child, one of her daughters.
Okay.
That's what he said he was going to do.
Okay. So if I heard you correctly, Mike said he was doing... are supposedly going to do odd jobs for Mr. Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Randolph, right?
Right.
And his wife, Sharon,
mm-hmm,
right? Just for the record, is that a yes?
Yes.
Just so it's taken down.
Okay. Sure, I got that.
All right. And also you said for the daughter. Do you remember saying that?
He said that he was going to do some work for his her daughter.
For Sharon's daughter.
Sharon's daughter.
All right.
He said he was going to house sit for in the month of May. Mike said he was going to house sit for Tom.
For Tom and Sharon.
Okay. Sometimes Mike would want advances of money from Mr. Randolph, wouldn't he?
I have no idea because he never got paid when he did the work.
Okay.
That's what his complaint.
Were there gloves that went missing from your house?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you remember telling a Detective O'Kelly or any police officers that some gloves had gone missing from your house?
Show me where I said that, please. If you can.
Actually, it's in a...
Press my memory.
I can. Okay.
Please.
I think the problem's going to be it's coming from a police report and not a statement. Okay, so are you going to object to your statement? Sure. Do you remember telling detectives, this is page 20 of the 68-page officer's report, telling detectives that you were missing a pair of black cotton gloves?
What kind of gloves were they?
Black cotton gloves.
As I said again, I don't. If I said it, but in 08, how long ago but it was?
That's a long time.
I have gloves that I wear for work because I do janitorial work, and I can't say a pair of gloves were missing because I don't value material things like that to that degree.
Okay. And so really what I was asking you is, did you tell detectives that you were missing a pair of black cotton gloves, or do you just not remember?
Because I don't remember.
Saying. Okay, sir. Now let's move to the mask, okay? You did tell police that you were missing a ski mask, did you?
Yes.
Okay. And at some point, you permit police to look in Michael's room to search the house for a black ski
Absolutely.
Mask.
Absolutely, yes.
And you helped look for the ski mask, too.
I didn't help look. I just permitted them to do it because it was two of them.
Okay.
And I don't, as I said, I have ski masks.
Okay, just, sir, if you could just answer my question.
What were you saying?
With regard to the ski mask, was a ski mask ever located?
Yes, it was.
The police located a ski mask?
No.
Okay, so the police looked for a ski mask, they didn't find it.
But it was there.
Okay, but it was there.
Yes.
And that's the first time, right now, in 2023, is the first time you've ever said that. Isn't that right?
I can't say that. My wife and I talked about it when she did laundry. The ski mask was still there, and I wore it to another job site that I went to, Bellagio.
Okay. You talked about this with Vita? You
yes.
talked about the mask?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this mask that you said was missing had a big, large mouthpiece. That's what you said, right?
Right.
And two holes for the eyes.
No, not two holes. They were oblong. In other words, like this. Whereas the eyes could be stretched over to the other part of your head where you could just have visibility.
Do you remember being asked by the police in... This is the statement you made right after Michael was killed. And when I say it, within a day, okay? Do you remember the police came to your house? Yes or no?
Yes, they came, and it was more like 3 days because we were missing him for about 3 days.
Okay. If I showed you the date of your statement, would that refresh your memory as to when it was?
To what was the question? I'm sorry.
If I showed you a copy of your statement, would that help refresh your memory as to what day you actually gave the interview?
Compared to when he was killed?
Yes, we could get the date if you...
Give me both, please.
Pardon me?
Give me both dates, if you don't mind.
Sure. It appears he was killed on May 8th, 2008, okay? Okay. And I'm going to show you your transcribed statement so you could see the date. Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, can I approach?
Mr. Miller.
If you could, sir, just look at this transcript. You see how this appears to be a transcript of you being interviewed with your wife by the police.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. And if you could look at the date, do you see the date and the time, sir?
10:30 in the morning.
And do you see the day?
Yes.
Okay. So it's actually...
May 9th. Right, I see that.
Yes. Okay. So it's been a long time, but it appears that within a day, the police are interviewing you.
I'm sorry, within a day of what? What are you saying, within a day of what? Explain that.
You asked when Michael was killed. Do you remember that? And I'm just saying, within a day of Michael being killed, mm-hmm. you're giving an interview to the police. Okay? That make sense?
It does and it doesn't. Let me tell you why.
No, sir. No, sir. Please okay. just answer my question.
Can I just go with the date?
The date, yes.
Yeah, the date was May 9th.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. May 9th. And they asked you about a ski mask. The police did, if you were missing a ski mask. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And they asked you, they described to you what they were looking for with the ski mask. And they said it would have had holes cut out for the eyes and maybe one for the mouth. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And you said, I've had one over the years. It was black and had cutouts for the eyes and then the mouth, and you could pull it down. Your mouth would be exposed. Does that seem fair?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay. And then you say, yes, it had a big opening for the mouth.
It did.
Okay. And you said you haven't had an opportunity to use it recently. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, it wasn't cold enough.
Fair. It's May, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. And so could you just describe for the jury just the mouthpiece? How big was this mouthpiece?
The mouthpiece was able to stretch over your mouth and your nose if you chose to.
Was there a hole so that you could breathe through it?
Oh, yeah.
And was this a big hole?
It was.
If you put it on, would it expose a lot of your face?
It was a very high-quality mask that you could wear, and you could stretch it over or pull it down on your chin if you chose to.
So you could pull it all the way down if
yes,
you wanted to.
You chose to, right.
Well, one thing you know about this mask, the mask that was shown to you mm-hmm. right now by Mr. Hamner, mm-hmm. you mentioned that it had something tied up sort of in the mouthpiece area. Did you see that?
I saw that. That was not mine.
That wasn't yours.
Oh, no.
Because yours most certainly wasn't tied up like
no,
that, was
no,
it?
No. And the eyes weren't like that either.
Okay. And did the police ever ask you for a sample of your DNA? Like do a swab just to see if they could locate your DNA on gloves or a mask?
If they did, I don't remember that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
With regard to these lengthy conversations you've described, mm-hmm. right? You said they were hours. Remember saying that?
Yes.
Is today, strike that. Did you talk to the prosecution about these conversations at the mailbox?
Yes, I did.
Did you talk to the prosecution recently about this? Did you go to the prosecutor's office? You know what I mean by the prosecutor, right?
I know that.
Okay. And did you talk to him and say, hey, you know, there were these hour-long conversations and they said that they were going to ask you about it? Do you remember that?
No, it was not that way.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking is, did you talk to the prosecutors about these conversations at the mailbox?
I talked to the police about that conversation, those conversations. When they came to interview me, they were homicide detectives. They weren't police, they were homicide detectives.
Okay. And are you saying that you told police in your statement that there were these hours-long conversation by the mailbox? You're saying you told them that?
Yeah, they interviewed me later, and I said, yes, that's exactly what it was. It was hours.
You said they interviewed you later. Was it after this statement?
I'm sure it was. Because I had to go down and pick up his things, his personal items.
So it's fair to say that in your statement you gave, the recorded statement to the police, you didn't mention this, but at some point later you told police about this. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you came to a prior proceedings and you testified, didn't you?
I did.
And you didn't mention that there either, did you?
What was that?
About these hours-long conversations that lasted hours out by the mailbox. You didn't mention that.
If I didn't mention it, it wasn't asked.
Okay, fair enough. That concludes cross-examination.
Just one second. That was just asked to you about whether or not you were ever asked at a prior proceeding, about whether or not they talked for hours at the mailbox?
Yes.
Okay, you had stated that you don't believe you were ever asked. Is that correct?
That's what I believed.
Counsel, I'm referring to the prior proceeding. 110, lines 13 through 16.
13 through 16.
I want you to see this line here, line 13 through 16.
Should I read that?
Well, okay. I'll read it in a second. Your testimony just now is you don't recall, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's it.
So, prior testimony was years ago at a prior proceeding when you were asked. You didn't remember if you were asked that question.
Yes.
As you sit here today and had a chance to review that, is that statement correct?
I did see it. I do remember it.
Okay. I'm going, for the completeness of the record, I'm now going to read from page 110, line 13. Question. Would it be daily? Almost daily. What would you say? Answer. Well, it would go in spurts. Sometimes it would be maybe a day or two in between, and then sometimes it was like every day and for hours at the mailbox. So you were asked before, correct? And you did tell at a prior proceeding.
Yes, I did.
That they talked for hours.
Yes.
Do you remember the question on cross-examination about if any gloves went missing?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of clothing, do you remember telling the police the day after all this happened that Mike had a red sweatshirt and some brown cowboy boots?
Yes, he did.
Do you remember who you told provided the red sweatshirt and the cowboy boots to Mike? And if you don't recall, I can help refresh your memory.
Refresh my memory.
Okay. Because,
like I said, I don't value clothes.
Okay. I know. It's 15 years ago. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Give me one second. Referring to page 14, counsel. Showing you page 14, I want you to look at this question, read this question, this answer, read this, and read this. Does this refresh your memory?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, now that your memory is refreshed, did you tell the police that Mike owned a red hooded sweatshirt?
He did.
Did you tell the police that he owned some brownish red boots?
Yes.
Did you tell the police who he got them from?
He got them. Yes, I did.
Who did he get them from?
Said he got them from Tom.
And did you tell them the last time you saw Mike wearing the red hooded sweatshirt? And if you need your memory refreshed, I can do that. It's okay.
I can't remember that.
It's okay. It's all right. It's a long time ago.
Too detailed.
Sure.
Okay.
Read this and see if it refreshes your memory, but the last time you saw Mike wearing the red hooded sweatshirt.
Yes.
What did you say to the police on that day?
It was 3 days because we thought he was just going out.
Okay, 3 days ago.
Yes.
Gave that interview on May 9th of 2008.
Right.
Which would have put that 3 days prior, May 6th of 2008, right? Yes.
Right.
And your nephew passes away on May 8th, 2008. All right?
Right.
Finally, there were a lot of questions about the ski mask, right?
Yes.
Just to be clear, you saw that ski mask in that bag over there?
I did.
That ain't the one, is it?
I wouldn't wear that.
Okay, thanks. No further questions.
Can I follow up, Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You indicated that there were some brownish red boots and that they were given to Michael by Tom,
That's
right?
That's what you said.
And you have said that before in your original statement, right?
Yes.
Okay. With regard to the red hooded sweatshirt, didn't you actually say that you had seen Michael with that, but you don't say that Tom gives it to him?
That's what he said.
Okay. Kent, I'm going to show him page 14. May I approach you? Let's go through this line by line.
Okay. Can you see if I'm reading this correct?
Okay.
Okay. When I show you Q, that's questioned by the police.
Got it.
And BM, that's you, right? Uh-huh. Okay. So Mike have a red hooded sweatshirt question, and you answer yes.
Yes.
Right. And when was the last time you saw that? And you say maybe 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
And then they say, how about some boots, right? Mm-hmm. And you, is that a yes?
Yes, a yes.
And you say he had brownish red boots, right?
Yes.
And where did he get those from? And you say from Tom.
Yes.
Okay. That ski mask that you've looked at, when was the first time you'd ever looked at that ski mask was 2017? Let me ask it another way. I'll do this. The police never showed you this ski mask, did they?
I don't think I've ever seen that before. But you know, like I said, it's so inferior to the mask that I have, you know, that I would wear.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
The police never showed you that, correct? They never showed you that mask that you... Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Can you follow up, Mr. Miller?
Yes, ma'am.
At what time do you remember Mike leaving your house on May 8th of 2008?
That was the day before he passed?
That was the day that he passed, is May 8th.
Okay, what I can say to that is Mike was missing for 3 days. That's unusual for him.
Okay.
No call, no show.
So he was missing for 3 days?
3 days. Okay. That's why it was concerning to me that... the police would show up 3 days later.
Okay.
I'm sorry, homicide detective said, we're homicide. And me and my wife looked just like, okay. You know.
Sir, do you remember what type of gun did Tom want Mike to get familiar with?
It was a small black handgun, maybe like a 9mm, fit into your hand, but, you know, bigger than the kind that was that you put in a waistband. But big enough, say you would go shooting, you could maybe take down a target or two. And it was a semi-automatic, let's put it that way. It wasn't a revolver.
Okay. On the night of May 8th, 2008, was your bicycle missing?
If it was in my garage, I've never been asked that question, are my bikes missing? Because I don't have a bike missing out of my garage, even to this day.
Okay. Mr. Hamner, any follow-up based on your questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Orr?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember the police asked you
mm-hmm.
in the interview, when was the last time you had seen, or if you saw Mike yesterday? That's what they asked you. So on the 9th, they were asking you if you saw him on the 8th.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember the question?
I don't remember that question being asked of me.
Okay. If I showed you, well, you said that you had not seen him yesterday.
I hadn't seen him yesterday. I hadn't seen him in 3 days. That's why I was concerned if they would show up and ask.
So your wife was present in the interview with
yes.
you, right? And she said she'd seen him yesterday.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember saying that. We never talked about that.
Yeah. I don't want to mislead you. You didn't say it. Your wife said it. Do you remember her saying that in front of you?
I'm just going to elaborate. Sir, do you remember if you heard your wife say that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
If I showed you a copy of the statement, would it refresh your memory?
If my wife said it...
Hold on just 1 second, sir. Mr. Arnold, that is hearsay if his wife said it. He asked him if he remembers her saying it. He doesn't remember it.
That's fine. Yeah.
It was stressful times. Yes.
Anything else, Ms. Allen?
No, Your
Honor. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any further questions? This one's getting very much on full sheet of paper with your name and your juror number.
Thank you very much
for your testimony.
You're very
welcome. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we are going to take our night recess. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors, in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read or listen to news or media accounts or commentary about the case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using reference materials. You must not make any investigation, test, theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or any other way to investigate or learn about the case on your own. You must not form or express any opinion regarding this case that's been submitted to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be in recess until tomorrow at 1 p.m. I do have something I have to do in the morning, so we will be here at 1 p.m. tomorrow, so we will resume at that time.
All right. I'll rise for the jury.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.